Look, we've all been there when we've had to make a tough decision in a short amount of time. I mean, if you're trying to go out and get tickets to a concert or to a football game, and it's last minute, you're trying to get the best deal, you don't know where to look, and you ultimately end up on a decision that's a little bit lackluster. Well, our friends at ZipRecruiter take that out of the hiring process. When you want the best, you have to act quickly or someone else will get it instead. It's like if you're hiring for your business, you want to find the most talented people for your open roles before the competition scoops them up. So what's the best way to do that? ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter finds qualified candidates fast, and right now you can try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/shuffle. I mean, ZipRecruiter's powerful matching technology takes center stage to identify top talent for your roles. Immediately after you post your job, ZipRecruiter's smart technology starts showing you qualified people for that position. Amp up your hiring performance with ZipRecruiter and find the best fast. See why 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Just go to this exclusive web address right now to try ZipRecruiter for free. ZipRecruiter.com/shuffle. Again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/shuffle. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
Lots of things are better together. Hockey, food, golf, or a nice cold one on a warm spring day hanging out on the deck. But if you really want to take things to the next level, drink some Labatt Blue Lights with your friends and live life to the power of we. Always enjoy responsibly. Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is the GM Shuffle.
The difference maker, the guy who tilts the field, the guy who is, you've got a handicap, is the one quarterback, and that's him, Patrick Mahomes. I mean, he is the great equalizer in this game.
You're listening to the GM Shuffle with Michael Lombardi, presented by DraftKings and VSiN. Here is Femi Abebefe.
Welcome to another edition of the GM Shuffle with Michael Lombardi, presented by DraftKings and VSiN. I'm your host, Femi Abebefe. As always, make sure to subscribe, rate, and review wherever you get your podcast. Our producer, Elliot Bowman, with us on the ones and twos. And we have finally made it Thursday of Waste Management Open Week. That's why Michael's down in Phoenix, I believe, the Waste Management.
Yeah,
Or is it NBA trade deadline day? That's why you're down there. Kevin Durant, have you
that?
Seen him yet?
I mean, how about the city of Phoenix? How about the city of
it's
Phoenix?
On fire,
I mean,
buddy.
My Lord. Yeah, I know Philadelphia's the city of champions, but I mean, Phoenix is roaring today. I mean, my Lord, Durant coming to town. Poor Cam Thomas. I mean, he had such a promise. You know, I mean, oh my God, somebody tweeted a picture of him out there. He was like Avon Barksdale's nephew. You know, it's like, oh my God, I just got traded. Now I'm in this. So
life
moves on. I mean, you know, at the end of the day, Brooklyn, you know, they had such great hopes, but you know, when you bring Ben Simmons on your team, things can scatter around, I guess. I mean,
I guess so.
At the end of the day, they have a ton of assets, but was it really worth it? You know, it's a lesson to learn. It's going to be a 30 for 30. There's no doubt in terms of team building and how this is constructed and how it all plays together. You know, it's like, yeah, it looks good on paper, but paper doesn't win, and now it's been destroyed.
It might be a 10 for 10 because I'm not sure if they have enough footage of Durant, Harden, and Kyrie together. Only 16 games with those guys. But let's get into whatever. Everybody really is here for, though, Michael. The Super Bowl, in all jokes aside, is coming up on Sunday. This is our final preview episode for Super Bowl 57, Chiefs and the Eagles. We'll give our predictions coming up a little bit later on in the podcast. But let's talk some of these storylines that we've seen throughout the week here. And, Michael, some of the storylines that I wanted to get into was about the team building and how these two teams got there, the Eagles on one side, the Chiefs on the other side. But do you think that these organizations over the offseason, did they have anything in common to the get to this point here where they find themselves one win away from hoisting the Lombardi Trophy?
You know, I think they took different paths. I mean, obviously, with Andy Reid, and if you just study his career from the time he got the first head coaching job in Philly, you know, he selects Donovan McNabb, and then he trades Donovan McNabb and kind of goes through that Kevin Cobb, and then he goes to Kansas City and trades for Alex Smith, and then he moves up to get Patrick Mahomes. So it's always been quarterback-centric and kind of moving the football, whereas Philly has been about offensive and defensive linemen since the time Jeff Lurie bought the team. You know, that's always been his belief. And so it's kind of been different, but it's similar in the sense that they're able to create an offense around the quarterback that they have and give Philly credit for developing Jalen Hurts, for him to be in this game, considering that the guy was benched in a championship college game because he couldn't really throw the ball effectively. And for them to develop this offense around him and then feed their team, I think it's two different paths, similar but different, and hats off to them. I mean, this whole notion that Jerry Jones said they went all in, I mean, what a joke that is. I mean, the Eagles have never gone all in. I mean, they still have two number one picks. Now, you know, what I think we're going to learn as we go forward is that there are some bills you have to pay when you kind of have a lot of really good players on your team like Philadelphia does and Patrick Mahomes making so much money. But I think they've taken different but similar paths. It's all centered around getting the most out of the quarterback.
Well, it's interesting that you said the bills that had to be paid, because on the Kansas City side, I think they kind of paid that bill this offseason when they traded Tyreek Hill. I was skeptical that they could get back to this point without him, sending him to the Miami Dolphins. And here they are. They kind of reinvented themselves, relied on a lot of rookies, and I guess relied on the greatness of Patrick Mahomes, because they find themselves here once again in the Super Bowl. I mean, I think it's really impressive what Brett Veach and that front office has done.
Yeah, I mean, they've added nice pieces. I mean, look, you know, the Clyde Edwards-Helaire wasn't exactly as good as Jonathan Taylor. They overcome that, and they get Pacheco in the seventh round, and he ends up looking like he could be their best running back. So I think that's part of it. I think you have to be able to develop from within, and I think Andy Reid doesn't get enough credit for player development. I mean, he's demanding on his coaches. He's demanding on the players, you know, and he's willing to take risk. I mean, they take character guys that most people wouldn't, starting with Tyreek Hill. I mean, that guy was off everybody's board, and yet they took him, and they got him in the program, and he's been able to get away with a lot of that, guys, where he focuses on them and be able to kind of get them. Frank Clark, another example, guy, you know, Seattle was a little reluctant about his off the field, and Andy took him and kind of has been able to get a little bit more out of him than most people have. So, you know, it's just the nature of what they do. And yeah, I think this year with trading Tyreek Hill, you know, I mean, they just have gone back to Kelsey's their main guy. Scanling is kind of going to separate the field, and they're going to spread the ball around and use his offense. We'll see if it plays. But I think the one effect of all this for both teams is one team ranks 32nd in special teams, and that's the Kansas City Chiefs. The other team ranks 31st, and that's the Philadelphia Eagles. You can't have everything, right? You know, and that's where they suffer. And the longest play of the punt return game was Sly Moore's 29-yarder. That was their best play in special teams all year. It came at the most opportune time.
Yeah, talk about right place, right time with that one, with Sky Moore setting them up to get into field goal range there. On the Philly side, though, people talked about the whole all-in thing, like you mentioned Jerry Jones saying that. Like, that was could not be further from the truth there. But they did make some shrewd moves, and I thought what they did in free agency, signing Hassan Reddick from Carolina, one of the kind of more under-the-radar moves, because everybody was talking about all the receiver money, the quarterbacks changing teams. There goes Philly signing Hassan Reddick. Reddick gets 16 sacks. Oh, then on draft night, they trade with Tennessee to acquire A.J. Brown. And on draft night, I said, I don't think a team has ever won the division on draft night, but the Eagles might have just done that. I mean, this team, Howie Roseman, what they've been able to do in acquiring draft picks and building a roster around their quarterback and Jalen Hurts, Howie Roseman's probably going to win Executive of the Year later tonight at the NFL Honors.
You know, I think for sure he will. But, you know, look, the one thing I think you can learn from Philly is you always want to build strength on strength. You know, this is a big Al Davis thing. Al Davis used to say all the time, if you have two great pitchers in baseball, don't trade a great pitcher for a hitter and now just be average in two areas. And I think the Eagles have done that. They built strength on strength. Their defensive line was good. It was really good, you know, and yet they add Hassan Reddick to make it even better. And then they draft Jordan Davis to make it even better. To me, that's the way you do things in the NFL. You build strength. San Francisco's built strength on their defensive front, and that's the way you win games. I mean, this game's going to come down to real simple, right? When you break this game down, it's going to come to which team can protect and which team can rush the passer, and it's going to come down to a simple thing when we played in our backyards, right? If Mahomes is facing three Mississippi, he's going to lose the game. If Mahomes is able to get them to count to five Mississippi, he's going to win the game. So it's as simple as that, right? And the Eagles tried to build their team around making it a three Mississippi game. and they put all their resources in a defensive lineman. Yeah, they went and got a receiver, but one of the things, the characteristics about A.J. Brown that helps them is he can block, he's tough, you know, and he's great yards after the catch. It's one of the things I have a problem with Baltimore. Baltimore, to me, doesn't build their offense around the strengths of their quarterback. They just add pieces and hope the quarterback's going to make everybody better. I think Philly was strategic in every move they made.
Do we have the two best teams in football? Because if you look at their profiles and how they mirror each other, and I saw this tweet from Field Yates about a week ago, both of these teams, 16-3 overall record, both of them have scored 546 points, both of them have six all-pros, including a Kelsey brother and a quarterback, and then both of them the number one seeds in their respective conferences. Are these the two best teams at the end of the day in football?
You know, and let me add another thing. To me, the most important stat in all of football is first half point differential, right? Whoever gets the lead at halftime should be the best team. The Eagles are the best team in that. They averaged 18.6 points per game. They only give up 9. I mean, they have like a plus 9-6 ratio in that area. The Chiefs get 15 points in, at 15.5. They give up 10 points in the first half. So they only have a 4.6. So to me, whenever you want to see who's going to the Super Bowl, week 8 of the season, go just look at first half point differential. The teams that build the lead in the first half are the teams that typically are going to get to the Final Four, and they're going to go forward. It's a rare exception that a team in the 18, the Giants did it when they won the Super Bowl that year. They were in the 18-19 area. But most of the often, it's teams that can build the lead and can extend the lead in the second half. So, yeah, I do think these are the two best teams. Now, I think the one area, I think Philly's a more complete team in terms of their whole talent level on every single aspect of their team. But the difference maker, the guy who tilts the field, the guy who is, you've got a handicap, is the one quarterback, and that's him, Patrick Mahomes. I mean, he is the great equalizer in this game.
What do you think a win would mean for Patrick Mahomes and his legacy? Because everyone's kind of talking about Mahomes as being a potential all-time great, and I think he's already stacking that resume to be one of those types of guys. But another Super Bowl.
Oh, you're going down the Danny O road. You're going down the – I saw him in here at Media Row. I was going to, like, ask him and say, do you know who Otto Graham is, Danny O? Do you have any idea? There's Joe Montana sitting over here. Why don't you go talk to Joe Montana?
Maybe you might want to have a conversation with Joe. You're walking around here getting interviewed by everybody.
Maybe you should have a conversation with Joe over here. You know, there's a guy named Otto Graham who was really good. Have you ever heard of Sammy Ball? You know, have you ever heard of these guys? Well, they couldn't. How about Johnny Unitas? Have you ever heard of him before? Well, he couldn't play today. You're so full of shit. He couldn't. Johnny Unitas would dominate today. Look, you just can't have that. You know, there's a great thing. When you are a coach, right? You're a young coach, right? You've played the game before. You can't coach the game the way you played. You got to understand it. Like I talk about this in Football Done Right. When I got on the team bus and I had to sit behind Coach Walsh, he was doodling Clark Shaughnessy plays in the seat in front of me, and he would tell me what tapes or what he wanted me to get him so he could continue learning about the game from the past, which brings the game to the present. And so if you don't have that knowledge, if you don't understand the past, it's hard to move forward. How do you characterize Patrick Mahomes? I don't know. Otto Graham won 10 championships. Is he going to get to Otto Graham's level? Maybe. You know, certainly he is uniquely talented. And he makes plays that are unscripted. You know, for all the greatness of Andy Reid as a coach, and it's tremendous, the plays that often define the Chiefs' outcomes are the plays that Mahomes make in the red area or out in the third down, the third and 17 to Tyreek Hill in the Super Bowl win against San Francisco. He buys time. Bosa doesn't keep him in the pocket. He moves, and he finds Tyreek Hill down the field. You know, and so he makes those plays. Those unscripted plays that Mahomes make are just so rare, and that would makes him so special.
Mahomes is trying to do something that nobody has done since Kurt Warner in 1999, and that's win regular season MVP, the Super Bowl, and also Super Bowl MVP. We'll see if he can accomplish that. Also on the Andy Reid front, he's the only coach in league history who's won 100 plus games for two different organizations. If he adds another Super Bowl to his trophy case there, that could be definitely a big time boost in his resume here. But I think we'll have a lot of time.
Oh, well, he's
on
going
Monday.
To the Hall of Fame. I
mean, he's already going.
He's going in the Hall of Fame.
But he might
I mean,
go.
He's already in the Hall of Fame.
He might go to the special class of the Hall. He might be in the penthouse of the Hall of Fame if he can use continues to add some of these Super Bowls there.
Yeah.
But I think that we'll have a lot of time to discuss what it means for the Eagles, what it means for the Chiefs on Monday after the game. But Michael, let's take our first break and let's dive into the X's and O's here of Super Bowl 57, Chiefs and the Eagles.
Look, we've all been there when we've had to make a tough decision in a short amount of time. I mean, if you're trying to go out and get tickets to a concert or to a football game, and it's last minute, you're trying to get the best deal, you don't know where to look, and you ultimately end up on a decision that's a little bit lackluster. Well, our friends at ZipRecruiter take that out of the hiring process. When you want the best, you have to act quickly or someone else will get it instead. It's like if you're hiring for your business, you want to find the most talented people for your open roles before the competition scoops them up. So what's the best way to do that? ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter finds qualified candidates fast, and right now you can try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/shuffle. I mean, ZipRecruiter's powerful matching technology takes center stage to identify top talent for your roles. Immediately after you post your job, ZipRecruiter's smart technology starts showing you qualified people for that position. Amp up your hiring performance with ZipRecruiter and find the best fast. See why 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Just go to this exclusive web address right now to try ZipRecruiter for free. ZipRecruiter.com/shuffle. Again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/shuffle. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
All right, let's get into the X's and O's, the nitty gritty of this matchup on Sunday.
I mean, we got to talk about the menu here in Phoenix. We got to hit that first. So
you know, okay.
I mean, you would have loved it last night. I mean, I could have seen you sitting at the head of the table there, sweat coming down you as you're eating pizza. But we got into Pizza Bianca last night, kind of did the Henry Hill thing. We just started just tipping our way. Whoever's in our way, just tip them, right? And eventually we got in with really kind of a – did you ever see the movie Ferris Bueller's Day Off, you know? Mm-hmm. And when that scene where he's there and he's kind of bluffing his way to get a table, you know, and so I think we kind of worked on that. And of course, a little bit of green cash never helps. So we got in. I got to tell you, if you ever come to Phoenix, I recommend it strongly. It was unbelievable. It's a great spot. Welcomed us in. And Brian Musburger, Mitch and Pauly, we were all there.
Okay.
Dustin was there. We had a great old time. So I did fulfill. I crossed off one of the things on the checklist when I came to Phoenix, which was go to Pizza Bianca. It's awesome.
Mission accomplished. I mean, that's like Las Vegas. You can get anything you want if you're willing to pay for it. So
you just got to do the Henry Hill thing. You can't do it. You can't be like Barbershop Mike. Barbershop Mike would just like, he never tipped. Like, it was unbelievable. Like I said, you got to tip that guy, you know? Yeah. Oh, no, that's what he did. Just tip the guy.
Which is strange for being a barber, because you always got to tip your barber when you get a haircut.
Yeah, but you know, I don't think he ever understood that you have to tip the maitre d'. Like, that's how you get service, you know? Thank God I watched Goodfellas, or else I would have never known it. He wasn't getting taught that by Barbershop.
Well, I'm glad you guys got out there to Pizza Bianca there. Definitely feeling a little bit jealous here in Vegas, but I'll have to treat myself to something else maybe later this weekend. Let's get into the X's and O's, though, with the Super Bowl. And I want to start Chiefs offense versus Eagles defense, because you talked about it in the first segment here. Can the Eagles make this a 3 Mississippi game versus a 5 Mississippi game here? How do you see these two teams matching up schematically and also in the trenches there, Chiefs offensive line, Eagles defensive line?
I think this is the challenge of the game, right? If you like the Eagles, you're going to say to yourself, the Eagles will dominate up front. I mean, look, the Chiefs have struggled to block good fronts. I mean, go back to watch the Tennessee tape. They struggled to block Tennessee. I know Tennessee gave up almost 500 yards in that game. They only gave up 20 points. It had to go to overtime. It took 2 Mahomes scrambles, 20 yards and 14 yards, to get the game to overtime. They forced them into 19 third downs, Tennessee did. 19 third downs. The biggest play of the game was a 33-yard pass to Hardman. So Philly's got to be able to take the approach, keep the ball in front, no big plays, tackle, and just keep putting pressure on Mahomes. And at some point, they've got to be able to say, we can't let you run the ball on us, right? Everybody's focusing on the Eagles' run defenses. Well, Andy doesn't really want to run the ball. I mean, that's one of the big things in the league, is force Andy to keep throwing. He threw 68 times against Tennessee, and Mahomes did in that game. So I think this game's going to come down to Philly stopping the run early and forcing Mahomes, I know this sounds strange, to throw the ball so that they can utilize their strength, which is their defensive front, against a weakness. And I don't know if it's a true weakness, but it is one of the areas of deficiency, the tackles of the Kansas City Chiefs. I mean, Orlando Brown struggles against speed to power. He knows he's not a left tackle. He knows he can't protect the edge all the way around. And Mahomes knows it too. Mahomes does a great job of climbing the pocket, because he knows Orlando's not very good on speed outside. And so he's got to be able to handle the speed to power on the outside from Sweat. And Wiley's got to be able to block Riddick, which is going to be a hard matchup. And so that, to me, is where this game's going to come down to. And the more plays, Tennessee had to play 91 plays against them when they played. The more plays they have to play, then all of a sudden the offensive line gets worn down. And that's really what Cincinnati's game plan. Cincinnati basically rushed three or rushed four, and they were able to force those tackles to have to handle their edges. And their edges did a great job. And then your edges have to have the speed to go catch Mahomes when he starts moving around. Mm-hmm. So to me, I think this is where the Eagles gain an advantage. And if it doesn't show up early in the game and you're in betting this game, this is kind of what's going to make you believe the Chiefs have a chance to win. If the Chiefs play better up front, it'll show up early, and it'll show up in the first quarter.
You mentioned that the Eagles could be susceptible to a little bit of the run game. Do you think that the Chiefs, if they committed to it, would be able to run the football on Philadelphia?
Well, they're never going to commit to it, right? They're going to run it, and they're going to run the jet sweep. What they're going to try to do is spread you horizontally to then get you vertically. What Cincinnati did is Cincinnati lined up in a five-man front. They covered the guards and center, and they had two edges outside. So they tried to force the ball to take away the jet sweeps, and they basically said, "You're not running the ball on us, Mahomes. If you beat us, you're going to beat us on one leg." And, you know, I'm not sure he did beat him. I mean, he made enough plays, but, you know, Cincinnati giving up that return, putting the ball down the middle, that was the issue. So I think that's got to be Philly's game plan. Look, we're going to take our chances. We know it's hard to take Kelce out of the game. But the reality of it is if we give up 200 yards rushing like we did when we played them in week four of the season, they ran the ball 32 times in that game. Edwards-Helaire was the leading rusher in that game. They ran it 32 times against the Eagles and gained 200 yards. The Chiefs had the ball eight possessions. One of those possessions was a kneel down. So they really only had seven possessions in the game. They never punted. They scored six touchdowns and threw an interception. So they can't have that, right? So they're going to have to take something away. And I think if they force Reed to get this into a 60-pass game or a 50-pass game, that strength, that becomes more of a factor for the Eagles' defensive front to dominate. And I think that's got to be the game. And I think that's got to be the game plan. I don't think the Eagles are fearful of any other receiver on the team except for they know they got to handle Kelce.
Yeah, I think Kelsey's the guy that everybody, it's like key in on Kelce, but everybody's been talking about that, and he still has these 10, 12 catch games.
Well, because they move him around all the time. Yeah. See, they line him up outside. They line him up in the slot. You know, so, and look, everybody in the media calls Kelce a tight end. Nobody in the industry thinks Kelce's a tight end. Mm-hmm. When Kelce's on the field, you know, he is a receiver. So they match that to them because they know they're not running the ball behind Kelce, right? And look, I'm not diminishing Kelce at all. I mean, I think to me, if I were Kelce's agent, I'd say, yeah, you're a receiver. You should be paid like the top receivers in football because he is a top receiver. Devontae Adams and Kelce are the same player. They're great. They're great. They tilt the field. But he's not a tight end. And because he's not a tight end, you got to match up to it. So when he's on the field and they have three receivers, they're really in 10. So you got to be alert for outside. You got to be alert for the draws, the screens, all those things. But you're not worried about any power run game. The key to this game is, think about this, Fem. You know, what do I say? I wrote this for VSiN.com online. One of the key parts of all these games is deciding who wins third and two. Who controls the possession down when it's third and short? Right? The Chiefs are the 32nd team in the league in that area. Why? Because they really don't have power in the offensive line, because they really don't have a tight end that can knock you off the ball, so they can't get into formations where they're just going to say, okay, we're going to run the ball for 2 yards. What they have to do is what we call dick them. They got to, oh, we're going here, but no, we're going there. You know, we're going to run sprint right option. We're going to run, you know, I mean, the touchdown pass to Kelce in the Cincinnati game was sprint right option. Exactly. It got held, and then Kelce moved around and made a play. So the Eagles know that going in. They're not going to power the Eagles off the ball. So Andy Reid's playlist is going to have a numerous amount of passes on third and one, third and two, because he knows he can't just stick it up in there and run it. And I think that's because they don't have that ability to ever control the edge. So to me, that's another factor in the game.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point. And when we'll talk props in this next segment about the Chiefs and how often they might pass the ball here. How about on the other side of the football, though? Chiefs defense versus the Eagles offense. The Eagles very multiple run game, a lot of pass catchers there. How do you think the Chiefs try to slow them down?
I think getting Snead back is huge for the Chiefs, right? So they get, I think he's playing, right? So, yep. I mean, that's the understanding. He's going to play. So that really helps them. Look, here's the Chiefs' mentality on defense. Spagnuolo wants to create havoc. He wants to create a negative play somehow, some way. He wants to play man-to-man. He wants to create a negative play. The challenge is for him is, can he control Hurts in the pocket? If you go back and watch the San Francisco game, the San Francisco defensive ends did a great job of rushing up the field, and as soon as they got even with Hurts, they closed it down. They moved it down, and their tackles tried to push the guards back so they could make Hurts a pocket passer. That's not a negative. That's just the reality, right? We want Hurts to make a pocket. We don't want him moving and running with the football, because when you play man-to-man against the Eagles and you turn your back to Hurts, he could take off and run easily if he escapes the pocket. And I don't want to hear this shit about a spy. Spies are only good on television, right? Spies typically don't work, right?
No espionage.
They work on TV, the Americans. Yeah, no, they work for the Americans. They don't work in there. You got to be able to control him with their pass rush. So to me, that's the real challenge here for the Chiefs, is how they coordinate their pass rush. It's not going to be how much they play man-to-man. They're going to play man-to-man. And especially when they watch the San Francisco game, they know San Francisco wasn't really intimidated by the receivers. They felt like they could handle them. They got to tackle them, but they felt like they could handle them. And one of the things is they know Ward, who they had, right? Mm-hmm. They watched Ward play against them, so they have a sense of, okay, he covers these guys. Maybe we can as well. And I think you'll see that. But what he's going to try to do is create a negative play. You know, run a five-man pressure that knocks him into second and 17. And try to get them backed up and make it work that way. I think the two tapes he'll watch a lot of, I think he'll watch the Washington tape to try to make sure that they force him into some mistakes. And I think that's ultimately the way you got to stop him. Do I think Hurts runs the ball in this game? Yeah, I think they're going to try to make it look like he is going to be the runner in the game. And I think that the Chiefs are going to have to take him away.
You know, it's interesting because, like, I don't think anybody really expects the Chiefs to get a ton of pressure with just their front four. It's going to have to be sending some of those blitzes there like Spags likes to do here. If they don't get the Eagles into second and long and kind of behind the sticks, behind schedule, can the Chiefs consistently get off the field if they don't do that?
So I think the game to watch, if you're watching the game on Sunday, the game within the game to watch is Kelce versus Spagnuolo. Right. So what Kelce is really a smart, smart player. Right. And so Kelce makes all the line calls. If you watch games after the game, Kelce and the defensive coordinator usually have a conversation, the opponent defense coordinator, mm-hmm. because it's really that they all know that's the chess match. So, you know, when the Giants played and he walks over to Martindale and Martindale walks over to him, hey, you got me on this play. You got me on that play. Right. He kind of has the ability to get him in the right call and understand where the pressure is coming from. He's the quarterback of the protection schemes. In like New England scheme or the Raiders scheme with Josh McDaniels, Brady did all that. Brady, you know, rerouted the protection. Brady changed the protection. He audibled. Kelce does that. So that to me is going to be the challenge, is can Spagnuolo dupe Kelce? Can he find a way to make Kelce think he's doing A but really does B? And I think that's the game within the game. And you got to really pay close attention to that. That's where all the action's going to take place. And I think that ultimately he does a great job, but at times he gets fooled. And Spagnuolo does a really good job of kind of disguising what he wants to do. But one of the things Spagnuolo's liabilities show up is if they blow a coverage, if they kind of make a mistake, because they think, you know, not everybody gets communications correctly. So I think there's the game within the game.
We've talked a lot about the players here, but we know football is chess on grass. What about the coaching staffs here? You have the Andy Reid, 2 weeks to prepare, everything that goes along with that. Nick Sirianni, who apparently presses all the right buttons on game day with the in-game coaching decisions here. Which coaching staff do you give the advantage to?
You know, I wrote about this too. So to me, I think this is going to come down to, you know, who can avoid losing first? And I know everybody thinks you got to be aggressive in these big games, but I think the risk reward's got to be measured carefully here. And I think a lot of, you know, people talk about game management on Sunday. Game management starts on Tuesday. Like, how are we handling this situation? What are we doing in this situation? And I think because of the Eagles having that rugby formation and that ability to convert some of these, I think it helps their game situation a lot better. They're really good at getting those short yardage plays. So I think that helps them. And I think ultimately their ability to use the quarterback in the run game gives them the opportunity that when they do take that fourth down, I think if they get Kearns back, their punter, that may help field position. But I think in this sense, neither team's going to respect field position as much. I think they're going to be a little bit more risk risk averse. Not risk averse. I think they're going to take some risk to keep the ball away and limit possessions. Once again, this is going to be an 8 or 9 possession game, and you've got to maximize that as best as possible. So, you know, Sirianni uses the analytical area. I think Andy Reid does it by feel. I'm sure he has somebody in the booth helping him. But I think ultimately this is going to come down to your preparation. And I think the Eagles have a broader, a more dynamic team in the sense of they can execute that short yardage play, which helps when you're managing games.
Last thing before we take another break, which kicker do you trust more, Harrison Butker or Jake Elliott?
You know, it's interesting. I had Jay Feely on the show yesterday, and we talked about that. He still thinks Butker's hurt, you know, even though he's kind of muddling through it. Butker's missed 3 extra points. Mm-hmm. Not very good outside of 40 yards. He's got 5 misses outside of 40 yards, whereas Elliott's only had 1 miss outside of 40 yards, including the 50-yard. I count 40 and 50. To me, that's the turnover range. Yep. You know, you miss a kick there, that's a turnover. You miss a kick in the 30, it's a turnover too, but most of these guys typically don't. And the extra points are going to be critical too because, look, let's face it, you know, 1 point kind of gets you off schedule, and then you chase that point forever. I trust Elliott more than I do Butker. I just don't know if Butker's healthy.
God, this is going to be a really fun game. Talking this out, I'm getting more and more excited for Sunday. Michael, let's take another break. On the other side, we'll try to apply these X's and O's numbers to the prop betting that we'll have on Super Bowl Sunday. This is the GM Shuffle.
The 82-game preseason is in the books, and it's finally time for the real season. Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered with same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. You could even bet on which team will make the playoffs coming out of the play-in tournament. You could take, say, the Lakers plus 215 to make the playoffs right now. That is an option at DK Sportsbook. Kings minus 165. Warriors plus 130. Those are just a few of the options available right now on the DraftKings Sportsbook app. You can download that app, use code SHUFFLE, and new customers just bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That is code SHUFFLE only on DraftKings. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY to 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bet expires 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
All right, one of the fun things about Super Bowl Sunday is the prop betting. And here at VSiN, we do a lot of betting. And Michael, I think you are also dabbling into some of the props or recommending some plays on the props. And from talking with you about the X's and O's, especially on the KC offensive side, you mentioned that at all times, they're going to be looking to put the ball in Patrick Mahomes' hands, not really knocking off that Eagles defensive line off the line of scrimmage there, which leads me to believe Mahomes' passing attempts and Mahomes' completions would maybe be a prop over that you would want to get in on. I'm looking at these numbers here. The attempts for Mahomes is at 38.5. The completions, 25.5. Would you go over on both?
I would, because I think part of the run game in this game is going to be the ability to kind of spread them out and throw quick throws. So there's going to be long handoffs. And then whenever there's long handoffs, that means the passing count's going to go up. And so I do think that. I think it's the same thing with Hurts. I mean, I know Philly wants to run the ball, but only 20 completions for Hurts to me seems really low, 20.5. I think he had 15 last week against the 49ers, and he really didn't have to have – once the Purdy injury occurred, he didn't have to throw it anymore. So for me, I think ultimately that's going to be the case. I think both quarterbacks will go over their completion attempts. I like those props a lot.
Yeah, no, the completions, yeah, for Mahomes at 25.5, 20.5 for Jalen Hurts. What do you make of Jalen Hurts' yards, though, 240.5? Do you think that they're going to make some explosive plays in the passing game, or is it going to kind of be that dink and dunk down the field?
Well, I mean, how do explosive plays happen in football, right? Usually they happen in man coverage because in zone you always have somebody playing the deepest of the deepest, right? So, you know, and so when you're in a lot of man situations, if you break a tackle or you catch a deep ball, you're gaining yards. So, and Kansas City's a man-to-man team. Philadelphia is going to play more zone. I think Philadelphia is going to try to keep the ball in front of them. They're not going to want to give up big plays. They're not going to want to make it a one play. They're going to make Mahomes have to beat them constantly with his execution. Certainly capable of it. it. I'm not saying that as a negative, but I think that that's the case. I think if the Eagles are going to win, they're going to need to make some big plays in the game against the Chiefs secondary that you could make big plays. And I think he's going to have to throw the ball. Look, one of the things Hurts does really well is throw the deep ball. Now, he didn't do it against San Francisco. Maybe it's his shoulder. I don't know. But I think he does. I would go over the total on yards.
Yeah, let's talk about the shoulder, because he looked like he was wincing a little bit at the end of that game against the Niners. From what you're hearing, is he all good there on the shoulder, or is he going to be kind of a little bit compromised?
I'm not hearing anything. I mean, I think everything's just a lie. I mean, we are in the lie center of the, we are in the lie capital of the world. Are you kidding me? Nobody's admitting anything. You know,
I think it's going to come down
to, yeah, I mean, nobody's telling the truth here. So, look, I think he's healthy? No, I don't think he's healthy. Do I think he can play well enough? Yeah, I think he can. And I think if he takes a hit on it, I think it'll wince and it'll hurt him. But we'll see how he throws it when we watch him in the game. You know, I thought last week against San Francisco, I think that did. He struggled to make. He's usually more accurate on deep throws. Now, he made the one great throw to Smith early in the game that should have been challenged. But I think ultimately he still throws the ball really effectively.
In terms of the Chiefs pass catchers, Kelce, I'm sure we're all expecting him to have a big day. Is there anyone else that you think could have a big day for Kansas City, though, amongst their pass catchers?
You know, I think this is going to drive Big Daddy crazy, but I think Valdez-Scantling's got to have a big day. I think he's got to show up. I think he's got to play. I think his speed is a factor. You know, this nonsense, I did a radio show from yesterday, and they're talking about, are we going to sign Bradbury back? Are we going to bring Graham back? There's a lot of, no, you're not signing Bradbury back. You're not bringing Brandon Graham back. Fletcher, I mean, this is going to be the last game for all those guys, because they're not going to be able to continue on. They're not, Bradbury's not a man-to-man guy. If they get Scantling on Bradbury, that's going to show up. So I think Scantling's got to have a huge day. I think it's going to be I think he's got to be the guy to take some of the pressure off Kelce. Because look, let's face it, they're going to line Kelce up outside, one-on-one. They're going to say, okay, well, how do you want to handle that? You want to play zone to Kelce? We'll throw it to him. If you want to play man against him, are you double him? That leaves somebody else for Scantling. And he's got to utilize his skill as a speed player. Look, you know, he's inconsistent, but when you study the game, you know, there's plays that he has made in games that have really helped them win. The over route last week against Cincinnati, great catch. The ball was thrown behind him, kind of adjusted to it. You know, the Cincinnati game where he makes the great catch down the sidelines, you know, and you know, he's made some. He's dropped some too now. Yeah. But I think it's going to be critical for him to have a huge day.
Yeah, Scantling's receiving yards prop is at 35.5. The reception's 2.5.
I think he's got to go over there. I think he's got to go. I hate to sound like an over lover, but I think he's got to go over on that.
Yeah, he can go over on one play with his speed that he has, explosive wide receiver. In terms of the Eagles' skill position guys, whether it's a pass catcher or a running back, who do you think has the big day?
Well, I think all of them could. You know, I think I like Goddard at 47.5. I think Goddard's the missing. You know, they in these games, they use Goddard quite a bit. Tight end screen, tight end delay. You know, I think Goddard's a really good underrated player. And I think Goddard will have a big day. I would go over on his prop. He's the one guy to me that I think their Chiefs are going to have a tough time matching up to.
Love it. I have some Dallas Goddard overs already. I got over 47.5. I also put a little bit on Goddard first TD score at 12-1. Just in case, you know, the tight end tends to be the guy.
I like that,
I mean, look at the script that they had against the New York Giants in the divisional round. They had that nice little play to Dallas Goedert. He went ahead and scored. Final thing, though, Miles Sanders, I bet his over on the rushing yards because I think that he can be a little bit more explosive in the ground game, over 59.5, and also anytime TD score. You like Miles Sanders on Sunday?
You know, I do. I think one thing, when you watch the Chiefs, when they face two-back runs, they have trouble. You know, some run. Now, Jacksonville ran the ball effectively on them, right? Mm-hmm. Jacksonville in that one-back run. But I think it's a Gainwell game more than it is a Sanders game. I think if you look at ATN, I think his speed gave the Chiefs trouble. I think Gainwell gave 49ers trouble. I'm more of a Gainwell guy here, Fem.
Okay. All right. Kenneth Gainwell. I'm looking at some of his props. I believe the receptions, he's around 10.5. The rushing yards at 19.5 rushing yards. He had the big runs against the Niners in the second half against them. So Kenneth Gainwell is who Michael is liking for the potential props. All right, let's take our final break. On the other side, it's time to get down to it. Our predictions, Super Bowl champion and also Super Bowl MVP. Who will it be? We'll discuss that next year on the GM Shuffle.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
All right, it's the moment that everyone has been waiting for. Who's going to win the big game on Sunday? Super Bowl 57, the Chiefs and the Eagles. Right now over at our show sponsor, DraftKings, the Eagles, still 1.5-point favorites. The total is at 51.
That line ain't moving, fam.
It's not. Yeah, we're hanging out there. We've been hanging out there for about 6-7 days now, and I think that's where we're going to be on Sunday.
But I think it's,
who do you think wins this thing?
Yeah, I don't think it's going to go. You know, this is, so to me, the visualization of this game that I have is the Eagles' front controls the game, that the Eagles put pressure on Mahomes enough to where they find a way to win the game in the fourth quarter. I think it's a fourth quarter game. I think the two Super Bowls both these teams have won, neither team had control of the game all at any point during the game. Let's go Philadelphia, New England. No one had control in that game. Mm-hmm. It wasn't until Brandon Graham sacks Tom Brady. And frankly, if Brady throws the ball to James White in the flat like he's supposed to on that play instead of holding it for Gronk, you know, maybe he doesn't get there. They won that game. They made the plays in the fourth quarter. The Chiefs down 10 in the fourth quarter. They get the 3rd-and-17 conversion to Tyreek Hill. They get the pass interference and the penalty. They make it a 3-point game, and then 49ers can't get it back again. So I think it's a fourth quarter game. I think the Eagles defensive front kind of wins the game in the fourth quarter. I see it being a back and forth game. I think it's going to be a little bit of a feel out. I think it's a lot of it is going to be assessment, then two quarters of adjustment, and then a standalone game. I don't think either team's going to run away, nor do I think either team can't play from behind. I think Philly will struggle if they have to play from behind. They don't have a true drop back pass game because everything they want to do is off of play action. But they're not going to, I don't think they're going to get behind in the game. Kansas City's defense is not good enough to keep them from extending the game out. And so Mahomes is going to have to play heroically. I think if you like the Chiefs, you got to bet Mahomes is the MVP. Yep. If you like Philly, I would go towards Hassan Reddick because I like that matchup against Andrew Wiley over at right tackle. So I like Philadelphia in the game. I think it's going to be a 30-24 type game. I like Philly.
All right. So just going over that total, the total sitting at 51, 30-24. I like that. It's almost like you're reading off of my notes here because I like the Eagles to win the game as well. The Eagles have been a team that we've talked about all throughout this regular season. I mean, dating all the way back to the springtime with the roster that they assembled. I just think the game is won and lost in the trenches. And I know that Patrick Mahomes is the best quarterback in football, and it's not even particularly close, but I still believe the team that blocks the best, the team that gets after the other quarterback the best, is the team that ultimately wins football games late in the season. The Eagles have been that team all season long here. Hurts is a little dinged up, so that has me a little bit concerned if Spags can kind of get to him with some of those pressures. But the Eagles' offensive line holds up, and they're able to play from in front. Like you said, if they don't get behind, I think they control this game here. I like the Eagles to go ahead and win this game. And the MVP bet, it's funny that you brought up Hassan Reddick, because I bet Hassan Reddick before the conference title games at 150-1 to be Super Bowl MVP. Mm-hmm. When it was looking like Mahomes is a little bit shaky before that Cincy game, and I was like, well, if you see Cincinnati, Reddick might get 3 sacks, but I think Reddick can also have a big game against Kansas City as well. So Hassan Reddick for Super Bowl MVP. I don't know if he's going to win it because he's a defensive guy, and defensive guys is hard for them to win. Von Miller was the last one to do it, but if it's not Reddick, I could see one of the skill position guys for the Eagles winning that Super Bowl MVP. Maybe Miles Sanders. Maybe it's Kenneth Gainwell. Who knows? Maybe Gainwell has the big game to go ahead and win.
I think if the Eagles score points, that's going to get to Hurts. I mean, yeah. You know, because if the Eagles score, I mean, the reason a receiver gets it is because the scoring's a little bit lower. Kupp got it last year. Edelman got it the year with what the Patriots scored 13 points.
It's a good point.
I think if you're playing that, I think the quarterbacks are typically the favorite. You know, clearly if the Chiefs win, Mahomes is going to have to carry the team. There's no doubt. And I could see Kelce and Mahomes being co-MVPs because those two players play their best on the biggest stage. But for me, like, I just think, as you said, I think the simplest terms, I think if this is a 3 Mississippi game, if they have to protect and they can't, which is what Cincinnati was able to do to them. Now, look, all those Cincinnati games are decided by 3 points. So, like, let's just not assume the Eagles are going to run the way with this thing. Now, you know, I think it's going to be a close game. I think it's going to be a fourth quarter game. I think I trust Elliott more than I do Bucker. If I did the other way, I might lean the pick towards Kansas City. I hate betting against Mahomes because he's so great, but I just think at the end of the day, he's got to be extra specially great, and I think Philly as a complete team is the better team.
Yep. Mahomes is plus 120 to win MVP. Hurts plus 125. If you want Hassan Reddick, he's now down to 30-1 over at DraftKings there. All right. Well, that's the game. We both like the Eagles, and maybe if Hassan Reddick.
We're gonna be together there. We're going to be together in Las Vegas. Are you going to watch it at the Circa?
I'll be at South Point. So Wes and I will be doing the
you'll
show.
Be at South Point.
Yeah, we'll be doing the show during the game there for the live bet angles. So if you want some in-game angles, second screen experience, make sure to tune into VSiN.com, and you can see Wes Reynolds and I discussing this game. Real quick, have you decided what the song of the halftime show is going to be? Have you seen Rihanna yet?
No idea. No idea. I have not. No idea. I might just put my earbuds in and listen to Springsteen's latest concert down in Dallas. You know, I don't know. I have no idea. I'm sure it'd be great. I mean, look, I love it. I love the commercials. I love the halftime. Uh-huh. You know what? I didn't realize when you go to the game, you don't see the commercials because the stadium's rights limit the commercials. So you don't get a chance to see that. But I love all of it. I probably will not pay attention until the ball gets kicked in the air. Other than that, it's going to be great.
Yeah, no, I think I'm in the same boat there because we'll be doing the show, so we don't get any of the audio. So I've DVR'd it to see if maybe there's some cool commercials that people talk about. I'll go ahead and watch those maybe later on next week. But that does it for this edition of the GM Shuffle. Thank you to DraftKings. Thank you to Veasan. Thank you to our producer, Elliot Bowman, on the ones and twos as always. Michael, thank you to you. I hope you enjoy the rest of your time down there in Arizona. I hope to see you in Las Vegas this weekend. And I'll talk to you then, buddy.
Look, we've all been there when we've had to make a tough decision in a short amount of time. I mean, if you're trying to go out and get tickets to a concert or to a football game, and it's last minute, you're trying to get the best deal, you don't know where to look, and you ultimately end up on a decision that's a little bit lackluster. Well, our friends at ZipRecruiter take that out of the hiring process. When you want the best, you have to act quickly or someone else will get it instead. It's like if you're hiring for your business, you want to find the most talented people for your open roles before the competition scoops them up. So what's the best way to do that? ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter finds qualified candidates fast, and right now you can try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/shuffle. I mean, ZipRecruiter's powerful matching technology takes center stage to identify top talent for your roles. Immediately after you post your job, ZipRecruiter's smart technology starts showing you qualified people for that position. Amp up your hiring performance with ZipRecruiter and find the best fast. See why 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Just go to this exclusive web address right now to try ZipRecruiter for free. ZipRecruiter.com/shuffle. Again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/shuffle. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.